Welcome to Blindspot, an audio podcast series about forensic science and the role forensic experts play in our judicial system. The name Blindspot comes from the fact that forensic experts can see and hear what laypersons cannot. Forensic experts reveal the blind spot in court using their experience and expertise as forensic scientists.
Welcome to this episode of Blind Spot. This week, we're going to continue our discussions on body cam video with Sergeant Bill Tilson from the Coeur d'Alene Police Department in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Apparently, it was 2012 your department decided to integrate body-worn cameras. What led to that? Was there an incident or an occurrence, or was it just time?
It was a few factors. One of them clearly was we had officers that were using the taser cams that were on the bottom of their tasers, the little boot-looking thing, a black and white video, kind of a bad frame rate, and they were trying to use them for crime scene investigation and try and better document. So the officers and some officers were using their still cameras and flipping them over to video mode, and there was kind of a drive by some of our officers to try and get videos past the front of the vehicle. So what they did was use whatever they could. Well, then that's what kind of started us going down that path of what is out there and available to us. So in 2011, I was trying to get a hold of any device that there was out there. And in 2011, there wasn't nearly the devices like there is now. So that's why we started going that way, is that the officers really showed that they wanted to document what they were doing, get a better point of view, their point of view. And plus, in the long run, it did help us, because typically when somebody complains about an officer, the first thing we did was go out and get their video from their car camera. And so when we realized, hey, we could actually have it on the officers, it seemed like a better idea to get it from their point of view instead of just from the front of the car.
It does seem like there's two sides of the fence. Officer safety and to reinforce the actual events that happened, you pull the video out so that you could show. Do you see any other purposes that these body cameras are helping while you're on duty?
They help out in a few different ways. Obviously, crime scene interrogation shows exactly what the officer did, gives their point of view. But we're also noticing that when you have a person who's kind of hostile towards law enforcement sees a camera, several of the officers are noting those people are actually backing down a little bit, don't want to be recorded. So that's kind of a nice feature that, we're seeing some improved officer safety like that. And also just, even the smaller, lower-level crimes, barking dog complaints, code enforcement violations, are being better recorded. So when they go to administrative hearings or something, everybody gets a better feel for what was going on instead of just some words on a piece of paper that sometimes some people, they try and put that picture in their head and it isn't quite what is out there. So the video really helps out in that respect.
Got it. It makes complete sense. So soon after body-worn cameras were issued to police officers in your department, there was a chase and a shooting that occurred in Coeur d'Alene. How did the presence of these body-worn cameras benefit that investigation?
This one was an interesting case. When there was as many rounds that were fired as there was a little bit of question by the public on why that was. And officers were trying to articulate in their reports and when they were interviewed the reason for the shots. We were able to use both the body-worn video and the car video to actually show that the suspect had a gun pointed at the officers and fired through the car window, a fact that was missed because there was so many rounds through the car window. Where the suspect shot through there was at a very low spot, so wasn't easily detected. They were able to go back using the video footage and see not only that the suspect shot, but also what each officer shot, how many times they shot. And from their point of view, you could actually see on some of their videos the puff of dirt or the round that hits the vehicle. So it was an easier accountability for the investigators to see who did what. And also at the end, it also showed how the officers cleared the vehicle, and then started to bring in medical and do all those things to show that proper tactics and that our procedures were handled correctly.
That's a great perspective, because I've certainly, as a video forensic expert, seen both perspectives, dash cam video as well as body cam video. And without the body cam video, it would have left an awful lot to question about a series of events that was only captured on the dash cam video. But how does it actually feel to be on, to go out on duty and to feel like you're on video the entire shift? Does that distract you, or does that help you with your job?
You know, I think this generation of police is getting pretty familiar with it. When I first started law enforcement in 1990s, dash cameras were kind of a novelty, and the ones that were in the cars were these big, huge monstrosities that took up the passenger side of your vehicle.
Oh, sure.
Today's law enforcement, they've just been around. They've had technology around them between personal computers and cameras within their phones and all of those gadgets that they're used to. So I think they're used to it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. We still get a little bit of pushback from a few exceptions about, hey, why do you have to record me? And, I think as long as police administration uses it as tools to investigate and tools to do the job of law enforcement and not just try to do the gotcha thing, hey, I'm gonna get this officer in trouble, so I'm gonna look through all of their videos and wait for them to say a bad word, and I'm gonna jump all over that. I think as long as those administrators use it for the intended purposes, officers really have not seemed to have a problem with being recorded all the time.
That's good to hear, because I was always curious about that, and I suspect it's probably going to vary from person to person, officer to officer. So that's good to hear. What have you found to be the biggest challenge while doing your job of integrating body-worn cameras into your day-to-day activity?
You know, there's two that I think of right off the bat. First off is storage. We're averaging about a terabyte of data upload a month from all of our officers. And, we have certain federal and state restrictions on when we can get rid of those items. So we have to hold on to it as live data for quite a long time. So the cost of that can get kind of high, especially in a smaller department like ours. However, when you look at cloud-based technologies, that doesn't necessarily work well for the size of our department either, because we're not putting enough data up to make it worthwhile, but the cost of it actually is more than maintaining it. Secondly, from more of a work standpoint, it was kind of an unknown byproduct of using cameras. We're finding that if an officer neglected to turn on their camera, or it was left behind, or it malfunctioned, because as we all know, technology sometimes malfunctions on us, the prosecutors don't necessarily push forward on cases that they would have usually.
I see.
They're asking the officers, where's the video? Hey, I don't know if we can proceed. Whereas before body-worn cameras, they would have continued with the case.
I see. That makes sense. Okay. Is there any type of a chain of custody that your department has established with regard to body-worn camera video?
Yeah, we've created an in-house solution for that. Essentially, the officer, when they record on their device, the device can't be accessed other than through that company software. And that software only allows for download and for entering notes into the metadata. What we have done past that is the software then moves to our digital evidence retention system that we have in place. And it's a full audited server. Our city programmers created a program that allows us to audit who sees it, when they see it, why they see it, restrict people from seeing it, things like that. And so we can tell you from beginning to end, from the time it hit the software to the time that it lived in the system, what it's done and where it's going. Also, we can show when we saved it. We can show all those type of things. So it's really helped with the chain of custody.
Have you personally had any type of training with the use of these systems, or how did you come about being able to operate all of this new equipment and the computers and downloading it and all of that. Has that caused a problem for you, or did that come pretty easy for you?
I've been blessed with playing with gadgets and kind of learning my way. I'm by no means an IT expert. I do rely quite heavily on our professionals for that. However, I try to bring a cop's mindset to, if I can make it work, you know, as a police officer, it should be easier for the other officers to use it in their day-to-day work. And we're also noticing also the younger generation of police, again, has had that experience with personal computers and things like that. So we do a lot of in-house training to show them how to do certain things. Obviously, software upgrades, changes in features, things like that. We try to do a lot of dissemination of information, try to walk people through that are having difficulty, things like that. So at the end of the day, it's just trying to come up with a way that's best for the user, in this case, mostly police officers, to use the software and feel comfortable with it.
It's become another activity. You come back, before you punch out, so to speak, you have video to download in addition to the other activities that you do as you're kind of debriefing from your shift.
Yes, absolutely. It's just become part of the procedures of going home. Yep. And our policy is pretty specific that they download every day, and even if they didn't think it was any material whatsoever, we still have it, and then we follow the state guidelines on preserving that.
Yeah, you mentioned a little earlier about the federal and state restrictions that you're following with regard to storage and how long you need to maintain. Is there a set standard for that you're aware of, or is this something that your department has employed on its own?
We've relied on our legal team to help us out with that. Obviously, the state of Idaho has a Freedom of Information Act that requires us to fund certain information for 2 years. And in the event that we're not sure if we're supposed to preserve it or not, we will preserve it for 2 years. We also utilize Idaho State Code on when we can remove evidence from our retention system for misdemeanor and felonies. You know, it depends on the type of crime on when we can remove those. Currently, we remove those that aren't attached to a case number or citation after 24 months, as is part of the standard state of Idaho rule of thumb.
That's a long time. That's a long time and a lot of video.
Especially prior to 2011, you know, we were running in the maybe gigabits per month of download. Now, like I said, we're up into a terabyte a month. It's amazing as the officers become more and more comfortable with the device and use it in more and more situations. Because I can tell you, I thought, as a sergeant telling them, hey, this is how I think you should use it, the troops have really come up with really inventive ways of using the technology far past what I ever expected. And so things that they're recording has just been outstanding. And, 95% of the stuff will never be seen by the public, but it is seen in the court systems, and it is shown to show reliability to the officers because of how they're using the technology. So if it means that we have to throw more storage at it, that's what we're going to do for the benefit of all involved.
So how are you currently storing? Are they separate hard drives that are inventoried in a stock room someplace, or how does that work?
We have a server with a storage capability of about 40 terabytes. And enough stuff falls off on the back end every 2 years that we can keep it alive and keep it functioning for everybody involved. So if you needed to look at a case from 2011, it's still there for review. We started in 2007 with our retention system, so a lot of the documents, things like that, are still very much easily accessible. We also have a backup system in place that's done forth by our IT professionals and set in a secure vault. So everything's live in a server with backup capabilities.
Wow. That's an awful lot of storage space, and you're one department in one city. That's
exactly.
Incredible. It just blows my mind to how much video there is from coast to coast that is being stored and backed up every single day from body cameras. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really is. And if you think about we're just, we have about, we're up to about 76 officers. that are, some are investigators, some are in positions that, that don't use a lot of video. But you're talking, you know, we're not the largest by any stretch. So, you know, you're going to be talking about large jurisdictions that, you know, our 1 terabyte will be dwarfed by theirs. So it's definitely a complication for all of law enforcement as we move to this technology. What are we going to do with all of the digital evidence?
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. So President Obama passed some funding, and we're starting to see in our lab a lot more body camera video as evidence. How do you think this law is going to affect law enforcement overall in the United States with so many departments now employing body cams?
You know, there's a few things that I see right off the bat. I think overall it's going to be a positive. You're seeing the law enforcement community embracing video as a whole a lot more than we used to. I know when dash cams first came out, you know, law enforcement was kind of hesitant about having all this, but we're seeing now, you know, TV shows about dash cams. So I think once again, law enforcement will embrace that. They're going to see the value not only for themselves, but for others. They're going to see, hey, this did protect me in this situation, or this helped me explain the crime scene far better than me trying to write it down on paper. You know, I think there, as we move with all this technology, and we do have all this, like we talked about all this video footage, there's going to be a fine line with the public on, we got to make sure we use it in a proper way that our community knows that we're using it for the purposes of crime prevention, crime detection, apprehension, but we're not using it so much that we're doing a surveillance again on our own community and making them uncomfortable with those type of things. I know there's going to be a fine line there. Probably the other thing I'm noticing is, you know, a lot of us in law enforcement, we got into it to be in law enforcement officers and not a computer programmer or anything like that. So we're going to probably see a shift in training for law enforcement officers to be able to work in this new era of technology, to understand what an MP4 is and what an AVI is, and why there's an importance to make sure that you have the proprietary software of the surveillance camera that uses some, you know, other format that nobody knows about, and know how to deal with all of this new digital media that maybe not even 10 years ago officers really even thought about, you know, and also going into crime scenes where this technology is going to be very prevalent. They're going to have to know how to deal with all of that, not just what's on them, but what they're seeing out on the streets.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, as you were saying that, I started to think about how this was going to change the horizon in 5 years of not only storage, but it's going to become natural. I know in my occupation, when I started, everything was analog. We were using rack-mounted components to do audio and video forensics. Now we're using computers and software, and I've had to go through, and still on an annual basis, go through a tremendous amount of training in order to keep up with the times. So I think there's so many different occupations that are affected by technology overall. So I hear you. I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah. You know, and probably another huge benefit to all this, though, is the law enforcement community. You know, we've always been kind of a behind the wall. We don't share a lot of information. You know, we have an ability to change that now, especially with using video right on the officer at a particular situation. And now we can actually post that on social media and go, here's what your officers are doing. We can actually create a bigger voice for our agencies and show them, this is what we do on a day-to-day basis. You know, we all understand that the media looks at what law enforcement does, and, you know, we know the bad news is what sells the ads and sells the papers. But now we have an ability to get out a lot of positive items out there too. And you know, we've been really fortunate. The media around here has picked up a lot of those positives that we do put out using the different video footage and photo footage, and actually are wanting to know more about those things that we do. So there's a lot of positives overall.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we have the citizen recorded video where somebody is standing and the law enforcement officer is doing his job and they decide to turn their smartphone on and video record the activity. How do you feel about citizen filmed video versus body cam video as an officer?
You know, it's one of those things that it's going to be there. It's going to be a prevalent part of every law enforcement officer's career. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I think where it becomes a negative is, you know, they have 5 minutes of footage on their phone, and they take out and just post the 15 seconds of something happening, and then say, "See, this is what your law enforcement's like." But we will have this ability to show our video footage too. We can, you know, we can take that 15 seconds of video and take it to our media and go, "Let me show you what the police officer saw. Let me show you his full 20-minute video," or whatever it ends up being, and you could see it from that officer's point of view. You know, we've been very successful with we've had people go and complain about law enforcement to our local media. The media inquires about it. We say, "Hey, come on in. Let's show you the video." They, within seconds, go, there's no story here, and they move on. So you're going to see that a lot, and we've actually had a lot of positive encounters too, where people who are witnesses to crimes are actually posting stuff from their video that actually is a benefit to the case. So we're able to either ask them, or if it's in a public forum, such as a social media site, we're able to download that and put it into our case file as a different point of view to that case. So it's not all negative, I guess, is what I'm saying.
That's awesome.
Citizens are going to do that, and you know, it's just going to be part of the law enforcement officer's life.
That feels good. I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was beginning to get a little concerned at how it was being dramatized in the media. And to hear that there's a balance, it's something I learned from you during this call. One of many things I've learned from you is having that video actually can be a benefit and not just a negative. The other couple of things that I learned from you is the accountability aspect. And you've mentioned it a couple of times during this interview. It didn't even occur to me that body cam video could hold officers accountable whenever there's questions, and a crime deterrent. That, I guess, I thought about that over the course of the years that body cameras have been implemented, but it's nice to hear it coming right from somebody who's facing the crime on a day-to-day basis, say that it actually helps to deter crime a little bit. So this is good. This is all good stuff. Any final thoughts as we wind down here?
I don't know. I just appreciate you talking with me about it. You know, it's a powerful topic in my life right now, and I know there's going to be a lot of negative thoughts about it from the people, both in the law enforcement community and outside. But I think the positives far outweigh the negatives that people will hear, and I think there's a public request to get a little bit more from the officers and whatever we can do in law enforcement just reinstill some of the trust back, I think we should do.
Absolutely. And going forward, if there's ever anything that we could do for you in exchange for you generously giving us your time today, please don't ever hesitate to give us a shout. And I really, really appreciate you spending time with us today, Sergeant Tilson, and appreciate your time for this interview.
You bet. Anytime.
That's it for this episode of Blind Spot. If you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to shoot us an email at primoforensics@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. We even have a website, primoforensics.com. It talks all about our forensic services and has a blog with tons of information about audio and video forensics, as well as the expert witness field. Please, please, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you, what you think of the show, and what you'd like to hear more about. Thank you for listening.